My Lords, I am deeply grateful for a debate which both in variety and quality has not disappointed expectations. Despite that variety, there have been a number of unifying factors emerging in the discussion, and some of those factors have already been enumerated by the noble Lord the Minister. Not the least among those unifying factors was the admiration widely expressed for the work of Canon Andrew White in Baghdad, and I'm very happy to associate myself with that admiration. But on wider points which have emerged, if I may just touch on one or two in conclusion. The definition of religious liberty, we've been reminded, is not always a simple matter. My noble brother of Exeter pointed out that we were speaking not simply of the liberty to worship, but a liberty of conscience, a mental liberty. And that includes asking some difficult questions about the rites of conversion, which many noble lords have raised in their contributions during today. I was delighted to hear the noble Lord, Lord Saxe, quote Lord Acton on the test of liberty as its treatment of minorities. It was the same Lord Acton who observed that a coherent doctrine of religious liberty was actually at the foundation of all serious talk about political liberties. So we have a number of issues there worth taking up and holding in our minds. But we've also been reminded by a number of your lordships about the significance of education and adequate communication in this whole field. Points have been made about the poisonous effect of certain kinds of school textbook, for example. And I wonder whether that is something which we might not think about more practically as we move forward. Mention has been made of the British Council. Mention might also be made of educational partnerships of different kinds which exist between educational institutions here and in the region. And I would ask what possibility there is of using those partnerships to challenge some of the most unhelpful and destructive tendencies among educational circles in the region we've been discussing. Your Lordships will be interested, I'm sure, to know that in the conversations that we've held regularly between the Church of England and the Chief Rabbinate in Jerusalem, the issue of school textbooks has been raised repeatedly as a question affecting all of us, all the communities, that is, involved in the region. So in addition to our thinking about liberty, religious liberty and political liberty, I would add as a necessary corollary of that some serious thinking about how we stimulate the best in education across the region as it moves forward. I was grateful to the noble Lord, Lord Boateng, for remarks that he made about what I would call the need to address human problems in a three-dimensional way, that three-dimensionality including, inevitably, the dimension of faith. God is back is indeed a rather strange slogan. Those of us who do profess a faith will, of course, believe that he's never been away, not even in Europe in recent years. However, the point made is a significant one. We are in an age where, in the North Atlantic culture, it is easy and fashionable to suppose that somehow the religious account of human life is thinner or narrower than others. The opposite, of course, is what I believe to be true, as do many other members of your Lordship's house. But whether or not that is something you believe, it is quite clearly an impossibility to take a realistic approach to human issues by cutting out that enormous area of human motivation and human inspiration which is represented by religion. And that is perhaps also why a proper understanding of religious liberty is indeed at the foundation of a proper, full and robust account of political liberties more widely. And that perhaps may be a justification for moving on in conclusion to what is, in a sense, a slightly more personal observation. And I hope your Lordships will indulge me here. I spoke in my introductory remarks about the way in which the decline or threatened absence of Christianity in the communities and nations of the Middle East would impoverish those nations, would impoverish the future possibilities even for majority Islamic states and societies. I would also want to say that such a disappearance would impoverish us as a civilization, and us as a church. I speak for myself here. Like some of my right reverend brethren here, I have some experience of what the noble Lord Lord Patton referred to in terms of the spiritual depths of of the communities we are speaking about. It's now over 30 years since I made my first visit to one of the Coptic monasteries in the Wadi al-Natrun between Cairo and Alexandria, an experience which remains with me to this day as a formative time. I've been privileged in more recent years to revisit some of those communities, always with enormous profit and enormous challenge. To lose the contemplative, reflective, imaginative spirit represented in those monasteries and in the communities which support them and sustain them would be for us to lose great depth from our Christian identity. And if our Christian identity in the West becomes thinner and duller, so does our political and cultural identity overall. My lords, I can't sit down without paying that particular personal debt to one community in the Middle East, but I believe it's a debt that is not just mine, but ours, a debt we ought to discharge by the kind of serious, sustained, generous and careful discussion which your Lordship's House has given to this subject today. I thank you. Mm.